You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with Chris Haft, our MLB.com Giants reporter. This is the Giants podcast, and we got a lot to talk about, Chris. We're going to talk about your Hall of Fame ballot, because you do get to vote for the Hall of Fame, and I like who you voted for, so I want to compliment you on that. We'll get into it a little bit. We'll also talk about Bruce Bochy, who's feeling better heading into 2018, but I want to start with, obviously, the big move that the Giants have made since last time we talked, and that is the addition of Austin Jackson. It's a two-year, $6 million deal. Jackson turns 31 next week. He had a nice bounce-back season in 2017 where he slashed .318, .387, .482 with the Indians. Not always an everyday player, but he did get some time in there, and he still looked good in the outfield as well. So obviously we've talked about the Giants needing outfield help, and they've added it, and they needed a center fielder. Is Austin Jackson going to be that guy the majority of the time, or are they still going to try to maybe platoon him?
Tim, the way they talked after signing Austin, they being the brain trust of the team, Bobby Evans, the general manager, Brian Sabian, the executive vice president of baseball, and Bruce Bochy. The way they made it sound was they're not done yet. They may pick up yet another piece, in which case Austin Jackson might be a super utility outfielder, or maybe move over to left, which he's played before. But if things stand the way they sound, as if they'd be happy to stand the way they are now, but they've got some sort of itch there for one more guy.
Now, would that one more guy be an inexpensive depth piece, or would it be? Could they still surprise us and sign more of a big ticket player?
Yeah, the only thing that would make sense, because they have filled in a lot of gaps already, and filling in Austin Jackson, or getting Austin Jackson, fills in even more, would be a Lorenzo Cain, who's been linked to the Giants since, last year, even 2 years ago, in trade talk, and now he's a free agent. They don't go out and get him, but, Lorenzo Cain is still on the market. He would be more of an everyday center field type, and, Austin could probably, again, play left or be an often used fourth outfielder. So that's one thing I can envision, but not sure if it's a sure thing yet.
There are reports out there actually in the last day or so about Lorenzo Cain, and the reports are that he's got multiple four-year offers. Do you think the Giants have come to that point where maybe they've actually made an offer to Lorenzo Cain? Because while there's reports he's gotten the offers, I haven't heard or seen any reports about who those teams are yet.
Yeah, the Giants are real good about keeping secrets, and they're not letting me in on this one, Tim. I don't know why, but it wouldn't surprise me. Would not surprise me, especially now that the market is, we're just a few weeks away from spring training, and the market has really gone down for these guys as far as what a team would have to spend.
Yeah, and anybody who's maybe concerned about the fact that Lorenzo Cain is a guy who's, for the most part, relies a lot on his speed. He also relied a lot on the fact that the Kansas City is a big field, and he was able to take advantage of that, I think, as a hitter as well. So San Francisco, a logical move as far as his game goes. And if you have concerns about the age, Mike Petriello actually has a great story up on MLB.com about how he expects, based on data and past players, that Lorenzo Cain will actually age well in the game and continue to be a productive player. So we'll have to see how many years it'll take and if the Giants are able to bring him in. But Lorenzo Cain is obviously a guy who's been to a couple of World Series and won a championship with the Royals. So from that pedigree, he certainly fits into what the Giants try to do from year to year. I mentioned Bruce Bochy's health, and the Giants front office talked a little bit about, I think it was Bobby Evans who actually spoke about it, and how he's doing much better. He's obviously getting ready for his 12th season in charge of the Giants. 2017 was a rough one. The team struggled, and his health struggled. Two cardiac ablation surgeries last year. He had the atrial fibrillation. They talk about, with heart issues, obviously stress and all of that being a factor in it. Do you think that the fact that this team struggled as much as it did maybe made the health issues that Bruce Bochy was going through a little worse last year?
I don't want to make them sound worse than they are myself. I'm not a doctor, Tim, obviously enough, but it couldn't have helped. I mean, just knowing human nature, it couldn't have helped. And he worked under a lot of pressure last year. You know, not that management couldn't put that pressure on him. He puts enough on himself. He takes responsibility for each loss. And, there were times I think I can say without betraying confidences that, it definitely weighed on Bruce. But, he looks a lot better and sounds a lot better this offseason. I think maybe he's gotten a little bit more rest, enjoyed life a little more. I believe he'll be. He's ready to charge into this season. He likes the acquisitions they've made, the changes they've implemented with the roster, and he's very. I sense a real enthusiasm and excitement from him heading into this year.
Is he usually a? We see him in post game interviews and that sort of thing, but not everyone gets to see him in spring training with the team and in that kind of atmosphere. How much of an enthusiastic manager is he, or is he usually more of a laid back and sit back guy?
He's laid back. He's not a holler guy or anything like that. He'll watch the drills, of course, but one thing he does in spring training is he's going to see enough of the regular players, the everyday players, and the frequently used position players. So he's off. He's liable to go to a back diamond, and watch some of the minor leaguers who are in big league camp, watch them perform. So he gets a better sense of what he might have when they come up during the season. But so he uses his time wisely. You won't hear from him too much. He's not going to lead drills or stuff like that, but people always know where he is, if you know what I mean.
All right, let's take a look at your Hall of Fame ballot now. Up to double digits maybe writers here at MLB.com that have ballots for the Hall of Fame, and Chris, you're one of them. And here's who you voted for. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Vladimir Guerrero, Trevor Hoffman, Chipper Jones, Jeff Kent, Edgar Martinez, Mike Mussina, Jim Thome, Omar Vizquel. Obviously, Guerrero, Hoffman, Jones, and Thome all get in. I completely agree with you on Bonds and Clemens, and those guys should get in there. I don't necessarily agree with all these picks, but Edgar Martinez up to 70%. He looks like a lock for next year. That's a nice one as well. And I like obviously, you look at this ballot, and you have guys that you got to see in person. You think about Jeff Kent and what he did with the Giants, Omar Vizquel late in his career. And I thought Vizquel showed really well in this first year on the ballot. He's 37%, which doesn't mean by any means he's a lock to get in eventually, but usually over time the number builds and builds. And to start at 37, I would think if you're you're a Vizquel fan, you got to feel pretty good about that.
I think so, Tim. And as you said, the percentages tend to build over time. The next few years will be, of course, crucial for him, but there aren't that many guys who he's going to have to shove aside, like, first people who will come on a ballot, for example, for the first time next year or the year after that. You don't have a whole lot of, locks that are going to, make it automatically and maybe, siphon votes from him in either of those years. I believe I was watching MLB Network yesterday. Mariano Rivera will be eligible next year, and Derek Jeter the year after that. But, besides that, there should be some room for Vizquel on the ballot. That should help his chances even more, I would think.
And you voted for 10. Do you always vote for 10, or does that change from year to year?
Jeff Kent, you mean?
No, 10 players. You filled the ballot.
10.
Obviously,
oh,
you're
10.
Allowed to
I'm
vote
sorry.
For 10.
I'm
yeah.
sorry. 10. Lately, it's been that way.
Yeah.
My philosophy is that the Hall, which kind of maybe conflicts with my overall philosophy, it's not that the Hall of Fame should be for the very good; it should be for the very best. But it just so happens I find myself voting for 10. It's just the way it works. It's kind of funny, kind of odd. I think there were a couple of years I voted for six, seven, or eight, I'm not going to automatically, fill in 10 blanks. It's if only 8 guys strike my fancy any particular year, and you do have the right to change your mind, that's what I'll do.
I like obviously Martinez looks like he's probably a lock next year to get in. Mussina's making up some ground and he's heading in a good direction. The one guy that surprises me, and I just want to get your thoughts on this because you did vote for Trevor Hoffman and he gets in. Billy Wagner has gotten a real low percentage. I think he was around 11% this year. And if you look at the numbers next to Hoffman, they look really similar. Obviously, Hoffman has all those saves, and that gets a lot of attention. But are you surprised at all that that Billy Wagner hasn't gotten a little more recognition? And I don't know if now that four of these guys leave the ballot, maybe he's a guy you'll be looking at next year to add in there.
I'm not surprised he's gotten snubbed because it's going to be tough for a reliever. Yeah. I mean, I thought Hoffman was a lock, and it took him, what, how many years?
Three years, I think, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I gave some thought to Wagner. I'll say that. You know, his just from the eyeball test alone, I mean, he was such an impressive guy. And I can't say I won't vote for him in the future, but I just couldn't wedge him in, you know, this time around.
Yeah, and I feel like next year, because Hoffman got in this year and four people went in this year, I feel like next year is going to be a key year for Wagner because there'll be room for a lot more people, I think, and I think people are starting to come around a little bit more on the relievers. Obviously, Mariano Rivera, I think, will be a lock next year in his first year. So it's certainly interesting. It's always fun to talk about, and I love getting to talk about the Hall of Fame with someone who actually has a vote. So thanks a lot, Chris. Good stuff. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Giants edition. For Chris Haft, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.